Hello, this is Frank Falvey, and today I have a candidate for town council, Ken Ojukwu.
Exactly.
I have that correct?
You do, Ken Ojukwu.
Ken, I understand you're of Nigerian and Scottish background.
I am.
But yet, somehow, your parents were in Hawaii.
So, I grew up in Hawaii. In Hawaii and Michigan primarily, while my parents were in school. My parents were both at BYU in Hawaii, so I grew up on that campus, and then they did their graduate degrees at Eastern Michigan University. So we were there before moving to Albany, New York.
Oh.
Education for them was clearly very important, and for us and for for them and for their seven kids, including me, and I was number three. So they took us from Hawaii to Michigan.
How old were you when you moved?
I was 9 or 10 when I moved to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there for a few years before we moved to Albany for my freshman year of high school. But I ended up going to getting a scholarship to a private boarding school in New Hampshire. So I ended up at that school, in New Hampshire for 3 years before college.
Wonderful. Yeah. And you went where to college?
I went to Williams College in Massachusetts. So it's kind of the northwest corner of Massachusetts. So it was one of those places where I could run to New York or I could run to Vermont, and it would be just kind of in that corner. But it was a wonderful experience. I chose Williams College because it's a very strong academic reputation and actually pretty good sports. I had the privilege of, being recruited to play, football and wrestling in college at a very high level, but I didn't think that was going to be my career.
Right.
So when Williams College came and asked if I was interested in doing both of them, and potentially also playing lacrosse and running track, and getting a high level education, I jumped at it. I anyone who knows me knows I really do enjoy sports. I do think it's part of being an entire person. I wrote an essay when I was young about the Greek or the Greco-Roman ideal man who's essentially a scholar athlete. And for me, that's what I believed in, especially when I was young, and I still believe in today. I think having that balance between, the school learning, the athletic pursuits, and the civic responsibility, that's what makes a true citizen, a full person.
What did you receive your degree in?
I had two degrees. I had, I got a bachelor's in economics first, and in psychology, with a concentration in leadership studies.
In concentration in?
Leadership studies.
Leadership studies.
Yeah. Okay. So economics, psychology, and leadership studies. It was economics because I wanted to understand let's think about it this way. It was psychology because I wanted to understand how people who had the same information as I did might have different opinions, right? Economics was, the same thing, but from a financial perspective, in my mind. And then leadership studies, because I think, having an understanding of how to communicate is key to actually getting things done and, more or less anything one chooses to do.
I think I just read an article that Williams College is now paying 100% of their student tuitions.
They are. They're 100% of student tuitions for any parents, for any families who make less than, I want to say, $200,000 a year.
How many families make less than $200,000?
Which is actually a lot of families.
Right.
Now. When you think about it, even with dual incomes. And more of the elite colleges are going to that because they're recognizing that the cost of college, the cost of education, is skyrocketing in this country. And they're, Williams was one of the first to start freezing tuitions and using their endowment to start to help defray the cost of college so that those who left school didn't leave it just focused on and burdened with debt. which was not something I really necessarily thought about when I went into school, but graduating with debt because they hadn't put that policy in place yet is something I think about all the time, or often enough today, certainly for my kids, but for this next generation of kids as they go through, especially because it's becoming more and more clear that access to education is a true differentiator in in outcomes later in life.
Yeah, yes. The carryover in your work life, how has that been from what you've learned academically and what you're doing
for my career?
Professional career.
So I, out of Williams, I ended up on Wall Street. I started out as a bond trader.
A bond trader.
I did not know.
Bonds or corporate bonds.
Corporate bonds. Yeah, all fixed and floating, short-term corporate bonds, fixed and floating, also governments inside of 5 years. I did not know what I wanted to do out of college. I ended up as a banker. Side story, I had a friend in high school whose father was an investment banker. I didn't know what that was. I thought that meant he was a teller. And I did not understand how this friend could afford to have a car on campus, with a father who was a teller. Nothing against being a teller, but I didn't understand how that concept worked. So my ability to get access at Williams and use that to end up on Wall Street gave me more visibility and a better understanding of how finance actually works. I started out as a trader, did that for 2 years, enjoyed it, but also at the end of 2 years, I felt like I could do everything that my partner could do. Mm-hmm. Difference was he'd been doing it for 20 years and I did it for two. I wanted to better understand where value comes from and where value is created. So I looked at some of my peers, those on the investment banking side, though they were working really, really hard in very, very long hours, they had a better understanding of value and how to build it than I did. So I left trading after 2 years to become an investment banker at Merrill Lynch. Finally, after my time at Merrill Lynch, I ended up leaving Wall Street and joining a private equity firm in Boston. Mm-hmm. It was in part because I was interested in private equity. It was also in part because my girlfriend had just finished law school in Massachusetts. She agreed to become my fiance. She mm-hmm. agreed to marry me, but did not want to take the New York bar. So it gave me incentive to find an opportunity in Boston. And working at Harbor West Private Equity was a really eye-opening experience for me. It allowed me access to a number of balance sheets and companies that we were trying to help improve. Ultimately, it was always tricky when I would explain my job and what I did. Mm-hmm. I remember explaining it to my wife's grandmother as, if you've ever seen Pretty Woman, yeah. I was the Richard Gere character at the end of the movie.
Yep.
From the standpoint of, we're taking a business, we're trying to, and instead of trying to break it up and split it apart, we're trying to figure out how to improve it, how to build it, how to grow. Mm. And that's truly been one of the things that I'm most passionate about in my career. So
when you come to the town council, mm-hmm. you're bringing a strong financial understanding of money, bonds. I gather budgets are a strength of yours.
Yeah.
And leadership.
Yeah.
So why are you running for town council here in Franklin?
I'm running for town council because I think I can help us stay on the path we're on. If not, find a better path for the community. I believe that, I think most of us will agree that that federal, state, and local finances over the next few years are going to be very, very tricky, incredibly challenging. It's going to take a lot of discipline to figure out how we stay, how we maintain or potentially grow our strength, but it's going to take, sure, looking at savings opportunities, but it's really going to be important for us to figure out how we grow in this environment.
Do we want to grow?
Yes, we do want to grow, but let me be clear what I mean by growth. It's not necessarily, you know, we can't avoid growth from a building standpoint. But what I'm talking about when I say growth is identifying new sources of revenue, additional sources of revenue, because we today don't have enough to maintain what we currently have. So if we choose not to grow, which is a valid choice, we're going to need to cut more than we have. And the truth of the matter is, I don't believe that we can cut our way to financial stability. Now, for context, I've been on the finance committee.
Let me ask this question.
Sure.
The town in the last fiscal year, because 2 years of overrides failed, mm-hmm. close vote, but failed, okay? So they decided to cut a little from every budget, every department in the town of Franklin.
Yes.
The other alternative that they didn't take was to make major cuts in certain areas and completely eliminate maybe projects. What type of cutting is your preference? The small, taking a little from here and there, or looking at major expenditures that we need to do away with?
That's a good question. Okay, first, for context, I've been on the finance committee for the past year or so.
I have.
And so I've had the opportunity to look at some of the budgets and speak with a number of the department heads, and and including the school superintendent, and get a sense of where we are from a budget standpoint. The reason I started paying attention to any of this was because my daughter, who was in seventh grade at the time, lost her music teacher, and I kind of walked in thinking, you know, what are you guys doing? You're screwing this up. Mm-hmm. I walked into a school committee finance budget meeting and flipped through everything that they're looking at. And though it might be there might be a couple of cost savings here or there, the truth was they were trying to make a decision as to, do I keep my left arm or my right leg? There are cuts that are possible, but they are not going to make the impact that we want. That's the first thing. Secondly, my first thought then was, okay, what's happening on the town side? And you're seeing a lot of the same thing on the town side. There just isn't enough. So, if you take those two factors and then you recognize that inflation is real, inflation is a thing. It has been, whatever the number is, we know that it's been above 2.5% for at least the past decade. Mm-hmm. Yet 2.5% is the limit that we have to increase on any given year. So our options are cut every year to make sure that we don't go above that 2.5% and cut from everything. And that, so even if you cut a major project tomorrow, eventually that 2.5% will hit you, because inflation is greater than that.
Well, on the 2.5% question, right? Are you comparing apples and apples? When we vote for an override, or we vote for a new school, are you including that to see if it's been greater than 2.5%?
Yes. Yeah. So all of that is included. So the 2.5 is what the town is allowed to request above whatever they requested the prior year.
Unless they vote an override.
Unless there is an override. But we have said no to overrides in the past 2 years.
Would you vote for another one? An override?
So I don't know if I can answer that yes or no today. Right now, we voted no for it twice. Mm-hmm. What I think we need to do is make sure and communicate with people about what our options are. And our options are to find other sources of revenue, to cut dramatically in certain spots, and be prepared to keep cutting every year, or find another override.
And let me stop you there again for a minute.
Sure.
We have found another sources of revenue by taking out of the budget, okay, sewer and trash removal, and setting them as separate charges. We've taken out of the budget, because we're in the Charles River area, we have to pay extra for some extra doing because the Charles River runs through Franklin. Mm-hmm. We've taken that out of the budget, made it as a separate fee. Now, taking out of the budget makes it you can't deduct it on your taxes. You can only deduct the real estate tax. Would you take stuff out of the budget, like I just gave two examples of?
I would. So I'll say that I am not clear on the nuances of that. When I moved here, water, sewer, trash was already separate from real estate taxes. So if that's something that's done, it's kind of already there. My preference would be to not do something like that, because to the extent that we can keep that in and actually use it as a tax benefit for residents, why wouldn't we? Or at least my preference would be to keep it that way. I don't know why that happened or when that happened. I'm happy to look into it and come back to you with, maybe there's a rationale behind it that I'm just not aware of.
Okay.
But my thinking is I would prefer not to do that. But that's more of a gut reaction.
Okay. In the town budget, right, that they cut items to get out of the budget, one of those items was a fire ambulance. Would you have voted to not fund a fire ambulance and cut it from the budget?
So the short answer is no, because I would never want to. To me, education and emergency services are the most important things. For a town in terms of how it operates and prepares itself for success in the future. The caveat here is you're not voting in a vacuum, right? So it's not do we want an ambulance or not? It's how are we thinking about all of the various factors that are possible? Now, when a fire department needs to make a choice as to where they can cut, they would come to us and say, this is what we think is possible. If that's what they're recommending, we're going to take that at face value because they're the experts. Now, the challenge there is, we then have to look at that and put it side by side with everything else that's coming. And if we say, listen, we hear that's what you've got. We have to find somewhere else, then that's the shift that you make. But you have to first start by collecting all the information from all of the various departments as to what they think they can cut realistically, recognizing you have to hit a number. But then once you've got that number, and let's say you need to find 15 million in savings, they give you 20 million, you try and get 5 million back where it's most important. And emergency services, to me, would be one of the more important. But again, it completely depends on what else is on the table.
What, you've been on the finance committee, right?
Yes.
What recommendation do you bring, being elected to the town council, what immediately would you call to the attention of the town administrator in a financial way? Would you have a recommendation, or do you need to do some looking?
Well, from a financial perspective, I don't know that I need to bring it to the town administrator's notice, but I think the biggest thing that the town of Franklin needs is additional revenue sources, realistic revenue sources, and it's not an apartment on every corner type of approach. I'm not saying that's what we're doing. But two things in my mind are most critical. One is identifying the path forward, just clarifying it, and two is communicating it, right? And not with a 300-page master plan document that most people won't get a chance to read. We need to do a better job as leadership in Franklin of communicating with the residents of Franklin who care but are busy. So when we have a document of that size, it's hard. It's not accessible to most people who really do care. We need to find a way to communicate it in a much more succinct fashion, in a much more obvious fashion. So, 300-page document, here's the slot, the page or two that we're going to use to communicate. And if anybody wants more information, they can click on this link that it'll take you to the full doc.
I don't know if you've had a chance, but you have an expertise in bonds. How is our investment in bonds working? Can it be tweaked better? Frankly, had a chance to look at that?
I'll say I have not looked at our
bond portfolio. But is that an area you would look at?
I frankly think we need to look at everything, if I'm being honest. Yeah. When it comes to our financial base, it's critical. We do need to be looking at all of it. But recognizing that there are cases where we can't change it. Sometimes we have to just recognize that what is done, and we need to think about what's our plan for the future, and how would we do things differently than what we're doing today.
Let me change the subject for a second.
Okay.
You love sports. You are an athlete yourself. The Winter Olympics are coming up in February. Would you support flying either the Olympic flag or the American Olympic flag under the town flag of Franklin?
The Olympic flag under the town flag of Franklin, flag of Franklin.
We're flying now,
yep,
the Franklin town flag in June, and then underneath it we have an LBJ flag.
An LBJ, LGBTQ, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
For the month of June.
Okay.
What I'm asking is, would you support doing the same thing during the Winter Olympic Games, that are going to be held in the middle of February?
I would have no problem having a town flag and an Olympic flag underneath that. I think
because we have had Olympics when people from Franklin win Olympic medals.
Right. Yeah, Christy Kirschy, who also went to Williams, is an Olympian. As a child, I dreamed of going to the Olympics. I did not end up going, but I had hopes initially in track and then in wrestling. I think it is one of those aspirational elements of childhood, mm-hmm, that is hard to beat. And if Franklin can be involved in whatever way somewhat, we should absolutely take advantage of that.
Ken, what's the question that I haven't asked you that you'd love to speak to?
I don't know if you've asked me why I'm doing this.
Ken, do you have enough time to undertake and do this job? and is your family comfortable with you being out as much as you will be?
So I'm only doing this because I care for my family. I care about the town. I do believe I have some altruism in me, but the benefit of this is, for my kids, they see the importance of civic responsibility and just, being a part of your community. Ideally, I can help the town move forward. My family is aware that these are things that are important to me, and my hope is, for my kids, they'll recognize, and emulate their importance of taking part in particularly local government, which makes such an impact on your life as well as the life of your peers. My wife is absolutely understanding. I won't lie that it'll be a challenge because there are so many things that I want to take part in, but this is worth doing. That's why I do it. I care, and I would love to make a positive impact on Franklin.
What committee would you like to be on, subcommittee? I think they assign different town councilors to different committees.
They do, but I have not decided on any particular subcommittee that that I feel like I must be on. I'm going to be happy to be on town council and helping, and you know, lending my voice to whatever I believe, and I hear from Franklin residents that are most critical to, you know, leading to success for our town.
Ken, you mentioned communications. Yeah. And I couldn't agree with you more that we simply need to communicate with one another, because there's stuff one person knows that really needs to be passed on to someone else. I mean, I lost my mother and father, and no one ever told me that the last thing that goes when someone is dying is a hearing. And I could have communicated, okay? It didn't happen. So in communication, will you be using the studio? Will you be using TV? Will you be using print? How will you be communicating not only to your town councilors, but to the citizens of Franklin?
That's a good question. So I am not an avid social media, Facebook user. I do use that platform often to respond, in a factual manner to things that I see. If I were on town council, I would certainly use that more. Again, in that frame. But I believe that, and we looked at Franklin TV in the studio. We've got several websites and this studio that we need to be using to disseminate information to people on a more regular basis. I would love to see, a weekly email from the superintendent or from the chair of town council, that just kind of summarizes, hey, here's what's going on in Franklin. I know that people won't read that on a regular basis, but you'll have it in your inbox to pop in when you've got questions about things that, rumors that you're hearing. My concern is that when we don't do that, we tend to, rumors tend to grow and they don't get addressed by the people who actually have the correct information.
Ken, how can people reach you, join your campaign, or meet you?
I'm going to every event that that happens in Franklin that I can. So I'm going to be there in person. But if I don't get a chance to speak to you in person, please feel free to email me at Kenno at sloan.mit.edu. That's Sloan, SLOAN. .mit.edu.
Ken, thank you.
I appreciate it.
A pleasure to meet you, pleasure to have you on the air, and I hope you come back as a town councilor.
I appreciate it, Frank, and I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. And for all you watching and listening, the best of health, and please, only a small percent of you, like 10%, go out and vote in the most critical election that you're going to vote in. Federal government, state, this is the one that hits your pocketbook the hardest, okay, and the deepest. So please, let's make that 25% or 30% of Franklin residents to go out and vote for town council, school committee, assessors, board of health, town clerk, you name it, and they're running. Your vote starting the 17th at the town clerk's office or by mail, and on Tuesday, November 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at night at the Franklin High School Gymnasium. And I'm sure Ken will probably have a sign out there. And again, you'll have another opportunity to say hello and talk to him about any questions you have. Again, Frank Falvey and Frank Presents. Thank you for watching.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors. Good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.